Eric Rickstad is the New York Times bestselling author of the mystery novel The Silent Girls, heralded as intelligent and profound, dark, disturbing, and heartbreaking. His first novel, Reap, was New York Times' noteworthy novel. His newest is Lie in Wait. It is a thriller taking place in Vermont's Northeast Kingdom, featuring Detective Sonia Test. He lives in the state of Vermont, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for having me. I love the show.
Well, thank you. It's very nice to have you on the show and talking about your work. What got you into wanting to write this type of thriller novel?
Really, it's the love of suspense. And, you know, when I grew up, I read a lot of Poe very young, Roald Dahl, Stephen King, was into Edward Gorey. There was sort of a macabre bent, if you will, but also sort of working from a place of outrage as a writer, too. In each of the novels, I'll address issues that sort of outrage me. And they could be plea bargains for violent offenders against women that release these repeat offenders continuously, or it could be, you know, as within Reap, the loss of a family farm leading to a protagonist wanting to grow marijuana and the troubles that come with that. So really addressing that dark sensibility that I have, that real love of suspense and cliffhanger and page turner, with sort of that outrage toward certain things in the justice system or society.
So I'm curious as to the balance of keeping a story, as you do, entertaining, page turning, and yet getting the message across without, you know, banging it over your head.
Right. That is, you know, that's obviously one has to keep in mind. And I put story first, story and character, hopefully, and setting. And as I write the first drafts, actually, those seem sort of come to me and make themselves known to me. So I don't always start out with this is the outrage or whatever. It sort of starts to come from the story, and I'll start to address those issues as I go and figure out how they can best work while keeping story central, and then working those themes through subtly, because certainly I don't, as a reader, like being hit over the head. I don't think any readers really appreciate that. So I lean on the story side more and the character side more, and then have those themes addressed through the action and through the characters' personalities and goals themselves.
Is Vermont a good place for you, meaning that it works well for these issues that make you mad?
Yeah, I mean, farmers whose farms went defunct in the 80s and 90s who made choices that in the end probably weren't the best choices they could make. And there's also, you know, lie in wait. There's the theme of civil unions and gay marriage embroiled in that, and the paranoia and hypocrisy and strong emotional feelings that went along with what I saw in Vermont, that lent itself to that book as well as a dark gothic element of placing things in the extreme northeast corner of Vermont where things are quite remote.
And that's really fun to read about, isn't it? Because it's that idea, and for anyone who has never been there, you really should. And if you have been there, you certainly know that it does. It feels like it feels like, and you are, in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, you are. And I like working with, as a writer, the contradiction between a beautiful, beautiful landscape, but also the difficulties of actually living there year round and not just visiting it, and all the troubles that can arise from that, and the claustrophobic feeling of the big woods. You know, if your power goes out, there's no light around for miles unless you happen to have a generator, which certain people do, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. But they're not they're not abundant.
No.
now you live in the southern part of the state, right?
I do currently. Yep.
Yeah. So did you live up north?
I've lived up north, and I grew up in Vermont. I'm a native Vermonter, and As soon as I got my driver's license, I was up in the northeast corner all the time. I hunt and fish, but also hike, and was drawn to that remoteness. And I love being in the big woods and sort of losing myself in the big woods and exploring them. And so I was up there quite often, and had some also some disturbing encounters with some folks that lent toward some of the storylines as well.
All right. Well, you can't leave that hanging. Like what?
Well, there was, I had an instance when I was a younger kid, about 14, fishing with an older cousin, and ran into some people that we realized later were probably growing marijuana. I was way too young to make that assumption at the time, but looking back on it, it seemed like that was the case. And there was no one around. We were on a dirt road. It was two men, one in his late 30s, one in his late 50s, probably father and son, that approached us with shotguns. One of the shotguns went off in my ear, very close to me, and we were told to leave where we were immediately.
And you did.
And we did.
and obviously that is something that stays with you for a long time.
It remains for quite some time.
Yeah. So, but does that, how do I ask this? Does that give you a different, I mean, obviously it gives you a perspective, but are you able, especially when it happens to you at such a young age, to kind of put it into a greater context of, okay, well, probably not everyone around here is like that.
Right. Right. They are the exception, which is how it is. And you know, I've met perfectly law-abiding citizens who say and have friends up there who say also, you know, if someone is on your property and doing something they shouldn't be doing and are in the wrong, that, you know, you can call a 911 or call a state trooper. They might be an hour and a half away.
Well, that's right.
You know, there may not even be a local sheriff or deputy in your small town. And it can take a while. And you've been told, you know, sometimes you have to be your own law enforcement and deal with things.
So in writing about that, I mean, that must be always in your mind as something that is possible, there's a premium of getting safety quickly.
Right. Yeah. And that's what comes with that remoteness, is that balance of how much should I act on my own to take care of things, and how soon is, or how long will it be before help comes?
I love asking this question of writers who write about crime and thrillers, and that is, why do you think that we as an audience love this stuff? We just can't get enough of it.
You know, it's true, and myself as well. I think it really gets at the heart of human nature, that duality between good and evil, that duality between doing what's right as opposed to what might be wrong. And then for me, as a writer especially, and as a reader, I enjoy exploring the idea of the moral versus the legal. So in some cases, doing the moral thing might not be the legal thing. And doing the legal thing may not necessarily be the most just or moral option for a character. And I really enjoy exploring that myself. And I enjoy novels that explore that too, that duality, and getting at the heart of human nature and what causes someone to be a criminal. There's so many societal reasons. I mean, certainly David Simon earlier addressed those, and that's intriguing to me too, is that someone didn't just wake up. You do normally, in most instances, say, I'm going to enact this violence on someone, or I'm going to rob someone. There's usually reasons there, and I think people are interested in how people arrive to those choices.
Because we always have those moments, if someone is robbed or someone is attacked, and you think, well, I never thought it could happen to me. And that idea of reading about it, of the randomness of it, I think is a little, you live vicariously through these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it important for you with Lie in Wait, are you interested in a series? I mean, are you interested in doing books as a series and having a through line?
There seems to be, with Lie in Wait and The Silent Girls, there's in overlapping characters. And I have written, just finished up the sequel or the follow-up to The Silent Girls, because that ended on a very open-ended note that surprised me as a writer. And I wanted to write that readers seem to want it, but I wanted to write it as well, and that's what's important to me. So I think there's these three that you could call a series: Lion Weight, The Silent Girls, and the follow-up to it that will be coming. And I'm interested in the characters, but we'll see how that goes as far as what interests me most and what might be interesting to readers as well.
Because that's a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, it's nice to have the character. It's nice to, especially if it hits, then people want to read about it, and then you have some job security.
Right, that's true.
But then you're married to these characters, in some cases, for some authors, for the rest of your life.
Right, and, you know, I love the characters and feel there's probably a couple more books there that will take them to different places and involve different sorts of crimes. I'm not sure what those are right now, but I also am able to write standalones, and I love that with a lot of writers that I read that can do both and have the luxury of doing both. Hopefully I'll be able to do that.
Mm. In writing these types of books, you talked about Poe being an early influence, mm-hmm. but the kind of stuff that you write, that you read now, is it similar or is it completely dissimilar?
It's similar. I still like very dark stories. I like a lot of the Scandinavian. I like Håkan Nesser,
yeah,
and Mankell, and I like Joe Nesbø. But I also, there's a lot of great American writers that I love, Laura Lippman and Karen Slaughter, and there's a long list, but they all tend to be...
Laura Lippman?
Yes.
David Simon's wife.
Indeed.
Yes.
She's yeah. great. She's
yeah.
a favorite.
Good stuff. When you think about, so I assume you're working on the next one, or is it already?
Yes, I finished the sequel to The Silent Girls, and I am at work on a couple more.
What has this publishing thing been like for you? Have you had a pretty good time with it, or is it always a slog and difficult?
You know, writing and publishing are two different things. That's what I've learned. You know, I've
continued. Which is easier?
Well, the writing, I sit down and I go for it every morning and have for a long time. And sometimes it works out really well. And I've been very fortunate with this imprint, with HarperCollins, to have the success that I've had and have them be behind it and really encouraging and doing all they can to get him in front of people. So, you know, I'd say it is a slog in some ways. And there's just peaks and valleys as you go, and you just have to keep writing.
Well, the new book, I guess the newest book, is Lion Weight, and the new one will be out
2017. We're right now in the early stages. I finished the manuscript, and hopefully next year. Yeah.
Very good. So in the meantime, we can get caught up. Lion Weight is out, and also The Silent Girls and Reap. Eric Rickstead, I thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you on the program.
Thank
Best
you very
of luck
much.
To you.
Thank you very much for having
thank
me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.